You are watching a master at work.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Cave of Solitude. Your podcast about comic books and pop culture, coming to you from Toronto. I'm your host, Eric Anthony, and you are tuned in for another episode of The Road Report, where I attempt to make my way to work, driving on the highways of Toronto, talking to you guys, usually about comic books that I've read, X-Men, whatever's on my mind in the last couple of Road Reports, is what you've heard. But today, I'm going to attempt to talk about something a little bit different, something that's been weighing on my mind for the last couple days. You can hear my voice. I'm not usually attempting to be my excited self at 5 o'clock in the morning. But as we've all heard, more than likely by this point in time, it'll be old news. Not old news, but a couple days in. We've all heard of the passing of basketball legend Kobe Bryant. I'm not even sure why. I know why, but it's been 3 days now since we've got the news, and it's still hitting like, I don't know, like nothing I've ever felt before for a public figure, for a celebrity, for an athlete. I'm not making this podcast because it's trending, because I'm trying to get clicks. It has nothing to do really with comic books, but for those who have listened to the show at all through the numerous years that we've been recording it and have heard me and Daft J on the show probably once, almost every other episode, I would say, there's a moment in the show where you'll hear one of us say, "Oh, and here comes Kobe, Kobe the dog," and that's because we named Kobe after Kobe Bryant, basketball player. We brought Kobe home 2009, right around the height of Kobe's second act of his career. He was number 24, and going back to the finals 3 years in a row with his new dynasty. And we brought a little puppy home that was intended to be a boy, and Kobe Bryant was my favorite athlete. I'm not a big, huge basketball fan. I used to be. Being from Toronto, the Raptors winning was an amazing experience. But I'm not usually in general, I don't watch or keep up with sports as I once did as a younger person. But in my formative years of high school, when I wasn't into comic books as much back then, mainly due to liking music and other stuff at the time, I went to a high school that was very, very basketball centric. It was the best part of the week when, you know, my friends were on the basketball team. You'd have the juniors and the seniors playing, usually back to back, and it was some of the best memories we had as kids in high school. So being in a very dominant basketball oriented environment, and our team was great to watch. We had some fantastic players. We talked about basketball all the time, and I wasn't a great basketball player by any stretch of the imagination, but I was a very big Kobe Bryant fan. My best friend in high school was a huge Kobe Bryant fan. He's been on the show. You know him as Dane, my other partner in crime for my alter ego of being a wannabe rapper. But, you know, Kobe Bryant was one of our favorite subjects to talk about other than Jay-Z and Nas and hip-hop stuff. But I fell in love with Kobe Bryant because my older cousin was a childhood Laker fan. Huge Magic Johnson fan. I always used to make fun of him because Magic Johnson's career ended shortly, which was kind of stupid for me to do that. I was a Jordan fan as a kid, but he was a long, lifelong Laker fan. And in those early rookie years of Kobe, he was singing his praises from the time he won a dunk competition. I really wasn't on my radar because I wasn't basketball savvy. I was into hockey, being a good old Canadian boy, liking hockey and all that crap. But he was talking about this Kobe Bryant character from 1997, 98. And that was in those skinny, bald-headed high school Kobe years when no one was really... People were checking for him, but, I mean, my cousin had already said he was the greatest player in the world. And when the Kobe-Shaq era began, I remember him being extremely excited, and he was really the only one of us who was super into basketball amongst my cousins and my friends. So he would come to my house and watch playoff games or the finals, the Pacers against the Lakers, and by proxy I was cheering on the team for him because I wanted his team to win. I saw how happy he was, and I was cheering him on, and I got a taste for the greatness of this young talent named Kobe Bryant. And from then on, my love and support for the team by proxy of my cousin, but the player himself, Kobe Bryant, was palpable. And this was number 8 Kobe. This was, you know, the awkward, overly intense dude that maybe his teammates had a hard time with. But we all loved him, and we all predicted that he was going to be the best of his peer group, the best of his generation, and probably beyond that, closest you would get to Jordan or maybe past Jordan, you know. And I say all that because I'm trying to figure out why the passing of a person who I never met or even was following super intensely in the last couple of years, because he had retired and was no longer in the limelight, why this is hurting me so much. But I'm not, you realize you're not alone. There's a lot of people who are feeling this thing. My Sunday afternoon with my wife, when my cousin actually gave me the text, broke the news to me, I just sat on my couch for the rest of the day in complete disbelief with absolutely no words to express how I felt. I didn't understand. I was just part of you, I guess, is dies in those moments too. Because you feel like, nah, this isn't real. As everybody is saying, right? Your heroes, your icons, your role models, you expect them to live forever. And we know that they don't. We know that everybody has their time that comes. But why was this hurting so much? And of course, there's nothing to, at all, to take away from all of the people who are on that horrible crash. All of their lives are valuable. All of their lives are meaningful to their loved ones. But of course, we talk about the one that everybody knows. And you realize that in life, there's people who occupy space that's very rare, rarefied air, based on them being special, gifted, determined, given opportunities to experience certain things based on their talents. And as a community, whether you're from the city, like when you think of Toronto, how we all galvanized around our team this past summer of 2019, and it had the city abuzz and such a positive energy and a wonderful experience of everybody cheering for the same thing, which is rare a lot of times in this world, right? And we think of the outpouring of love that you had for Kawhi Leonard, who had only been here, not even by his choice, but he was here to do a job, and he delivered, and we just absolutely fell in love with this guy. Because these people, all the other Raptors as well, but, you know, specifically you look at Kawhi, who was the leader, these people, we share an experience as culture. We share moments based on the things that they're at the forefront, at the helm of doing. And for me, Kobe Bryant was that guy for me. And for my friends, and for my cousin, my best friend in high school, we were all sharing these exciting, debate-worthy moments with other people who weren't believers of Kobe Bryant. And he was giving us all of these amazing magic moments that gives you a sense of stability, gives you a sense of consistency, of excellence that you can always count on no matter what's happening in the world. And when those things are taken away from you, you feel that void, because all of those memories flood in of the times you shared with other people witnessing competitiveness and history and all these things unfold, because, you know, those are outside of us doing the mundane things of going to work and doing our schoolwork and going through all of these rites of passage. The things that we really want to do, stop, and enjoy are these hobbies, are these forms of entertainment, are these things that communicate something more poetically. I know I'm getting deep, but you watch these things and you think, man, you're not supposed to make that shot. You're not supposed to score that many points. You're not supposed to win again. And it's, they're metaphors for life, right? You look at the things that these guys do on basketball court, football field, whatever it is, and there's a certain poetry to it. And that's why I think we all gravitate towards these things, whatever they are. So it was just very sobering to kind of take a moment and sit back and remember these things in your life and appreciate the people who introduce these things to you, the people that you shared those memories with, but then also the person themselves who you admired. And I mean, I was a big collector of sports apparel back in my high school years, and football, baseball, whatever it was. But there was a good chunk of time, especially me being a hip-hop kid, where basketball jerseys were extremely in vogue. You know, you had that whole Mitchell and Ness era. Nike was releasing swingman jerseys, and I was a huge basketball jersey fan. I had way more than I needed with hats to match, but I had about 5 Kobe Bryant jerseys, maybe more, 5 or 6 Kobe Bryant jerseys. And the Kobe Bryant jersey was reserved for important days. They were reserved for wanting to feel good about yourself. And so I look forward to those days where, you know, when the calendar rolls around, like, all right, it's that Friday, or it's that day, it's Kobe Bryant day, because you marked that day by having something represent you that meant a lot to you. And I remember it just happened to be February 6th. It was the day that 2003, 50 Cent, Get Rich or Die Trying, had released his debut album, which was the talk of the town. That's what everybody was awaiting, this debut album from 50 Cent. Me and my girlfriend at the time, Daph J, was my girlfriend at the time in high school. We skipped school. We went out, we bought the CD, and she had a surprise gift for me, which was the 1961 modeled Laker jersey. The handwriting, the number 8 was on it. It was all black with gold trim, gold and purple trim around the letters. I had only seen it on the cover of Slam magazine that had Kobe on it. And now I was the owner of this beautiful, I still own it. It's just the most beautiful thing, jersey I've ever owned. And it was that one of those pieces of your collection or your clothing that, again, like I said before, when me and Dane and our group of friends were going to go to the studio back in 2003, 2004 to record some music, I wear my Kobe jersey. I have pictures in that Kobe jersey because you wanted to channel some sort of greatness in that moment. You wanted to feel that confidence. You wanted to feel that determination in you know, playing mind games with yourself, if you would. And Kobe was that the figure that you wanted to model yourself after. So, I mean, it's definitely not, it's not about me, but it's a matter of understanding why these people mean so much, and when they're gone, why it hurts so much. It's Tuesday and I find myself still tearing up about it, and I don't know why. I feel kind of silly, but it's not silly because you see the rest of the world going through the same thing. And it's just shocking because, and so sad because, you know, it would still be absolutely tragic if it was him. But to know that his little girl, who emulated and loved her dad and he loved her so much, was with him. And I can't imagine. I can't even imagine. I don't have children. I can't imagine my Kobe, my dog, being in a helpless situation. I can't imagine my wife being in a helpless situation where there's nothing you can do. And, you know, part of me too has been very, very upset these past couple days, not just because you lost one of your favorites, but the thing, sometimes these silly articles that come out, and I say silly because not that anything should be whitewashed or thrown under the rug, but they still bring up some of the bad moments of his life, and as you should, you need to tell the whole story of a person's life because it makes them the person they are at the end, right? But to dismiss, or to, for some people to say, why are we celebrating this person who did this thing allegedly? And they don't even use allegedly, they make it seem like that's who he was. I don't even want to get into all of the negativity, but for those who know Kobe Bryant or read his Wikipedia page, you'll know what I'm talking about. And when you look at my argument to that is, when you look at the end result of a person's life, go on his Instagram page. I know that for a lot of people that's fluff, but you look at the trend and the pattern of what he presented to the world and where he was putting his energy and when he transferred that energy to other people, what the effect was on their lives, his competitors, people who hated playing against him, but who had the utmost respect for him at the end of it all. Unfortunately, at the end of it all. The high regard he was held in from kids, from parents, from his peers, rival coaches. There's that famous, well-documented rivalry between him and his former teammate that he won those championships with, him and Shaq. And we all picked sides at the time. Clearly, I was a Kobe guy. But look at where their relationship was. I mean, this was a guy of growth, maturity, constantly trying to be better at whatever aspect of life he needed to improve on, whether it was on the court, whether it was personal life, whether it was as a dad, a husband, whatever the case, a friend. There's a lot to admire there. And I think that's why it got my gears going a little bit when people bring up the complicated legacy of Kobe Bryant. It's like, it's not really complicated. The man ended his life taking his daughter to basketball practice with some other friends. You know, he was doing everything right when it was all said and done. He had been. So, I mean, it's just something I wanted to talk about and share and recollect of how appreciative I was to have witnessed in my, you know, I didn't get to see Muhammad Ali. I didn't get to see Jackie Robinson or Mickey Mantle play baseball and have those experience with even guys like Wayne Gretzky. I was way too young in his heyday to see the magic of Wayne Gretzky, but I did see and live through Kobe Bryant's career and got to witness excellence at its highest at an age where it would have moved me, and at an age where I was old enough to debate the sport, if you will. And he did it when I was, you know, a young 19, 20 year old, and then later on when I was he did it again when 2009, 2010, to prove that it wasn't just a flash in the pan. Not a flash in the pan, but you know what I mean. Those three, four years with Shaq, wasn't just a matter of him being with Shaq. It was, he proved to the world, this is, when you're determined, you get it done. And what's incredible about Kobe was that he did it with one team. He championship ring chased sticking to his lifelong team, his childhood team. And you won't see that very often at all in sports. You might not ever see something like that again, especially in basketball. I mean, come on. The greatest players of today, they're just bouncing team to team, making super teams, trying to chase rings. Kobe stuck in L.A., the bad years, the good years, the rebuild years, all of that. And it's just really, really painful to not to know that you're not going to see this legend be an ambassador of the game that we all felt better knowing that he was at LeBron, you know, supporting LeBron as LeBron breaks his records, or representing the Lakers as they move on to the next chapter of their franchise. Just to know that he's not there, something feels very, very wrong about this whole thing. But it just lets you know that life, there's no guaranteed day. You never know. And so you got to, from what you can take away from it is that whatever your passion might be, whatever you truly love, wherever you truly want to be there. Do that thing that you love, obviously with the caveat of it not being harmful to yourself or other people. But if you've got that passion, if you've got that desire, that place you want to travel to, that endeavor you want to, that book you want to write, whatever it might be, do it. Take your shot. That was the one thing you learned from Kobe Bryant. Take your shot, and if you never take it, you'll definitely not hit it. But there's no harm in taking your shot and living life to... I mean, he lived a full life. So we shouldn't wait until... We don't live with a due date in mind, but sometimes we've got to remember that every day with your wife, with your friends, with your... It's cliche, but it's true. Sorry for the downer of this road report. I'm not talking about comics or anything fun in that regard, but I needed to talk about this. Hopefully you have good memories like I do. Maybe you hated Kobe Bryant, but regardless, it was an amazing life to watch unfold. And it's really sad to see it no longer here. This is Eric Anthony, Cave of Solitude Road Report. We'll be back soon, and we will talk about happy things again. Not to say that reflecting on people's lives isn't important or happy, but you know what I mean. Thank you for listening. We will talk soon.